second group of people that Paul talks about are those who reject God or those who do not seek God. And they are in verses 8 and 9. Verse 7, he's talked about eternal life to those who seek God. Verse 8 is a contrast again. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, here's what they get: indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. In contrast to those who seek God are those who do not seek God, are those who reject God. They don't obey the truth of the gospel. And as a result, they will experience the wrath or the judgment of God. Now again, Paul uses that phrase, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. That is, God's judgment will fall on everyone equally. It doesn't matter who you are or where you came from, everyone will equally face God's judgment. Look at verse 11. Because there is no partiality with God. God doesn't play favorites. He is completely impartial and fair in his judgments. Now in verses 12 through 16, Paul again deals with two groups of people. They're both mentioned in verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. So the two groups of people in verses 12 and following are those who did not have the Old Testament law. Those were primarily the Jewish people. And those who were given the Old Testament law, primarily the Jewish nation. And each group is going to be evaluated based on the knowledge that they were given. And so Paul talks about those who did not have the Old Testament law. Those who did not have the law are not going to be judged by the Old Testament law. They will be judged, according to verses 14 and 15, which we will get to, by the knowledge of God that God put in their hearts. In verse 14, Paul says that the Gentiles don't have the Old Testament law. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although they didn't have the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. That is, the Gentiles were not given the Old Testament law, but by nature they do the things, Paul says, that are contained in the Old Testament law. They instinctively knew right from wrong. All of us do. For example, the Old Testament law, which they were not given and we were not given, says, thou shalt not kill. We know instinctively in our hearts that it is wrong to kill someone, even if we've never read the Old Testament. The Old Testament law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. We know that it is wrong to commit adultery, even if we have never read the Old Testament. We know what is right and wrong, Paul says, because God has put within each of us a sense of what is right and wrong. And Paul says in verse 15 that the law has been written in our hearts. And then he says our conscience tells us if we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Now, the New Testament talks about our conscience a number of different times. It talks about having a defiled conscience. It talks about having a seared conscience. It talks about people who have an evil conscience. It talks about people who have a weak conscience. You can damage your conscience by constant sin in your life until it no longer warns you of what is wrong. Here, the Apostle Paul is talking about the normal conscience or the usual way that the conscience works within each of us as we were created. It is that voice inside of us that causes us to do right or that warns us when we're getting ready to do something that is wrong. The fact that people apart from God, understand that there are right things and there are wrong things. Even if they never get it exactly right, what's right and what's wrong, the fact that people understand that on some level, and that level can be different for different people, on some level, people understand there are right things and there are wrong things in life, indicates there is a lawgiver who has set up a standard for what is right and what is wrong, even if we don't understand that standard, even if we've never read it. And that person is God. Now, in contrast to those who were not given the law, and they will be judged based on the knowledge they have, based on knowing right from wrong, based on their conscience, in contrast to that are those people who were given the Old Testament law. Paul says in verse 12 that they will be judged by the law. Now, he's talking primarily to the Jewish nation who was given the Old Testament law. It's possible that this also applies to some Gentiles who were familiar with the Jewish religion, who had some exposure to the Old Testament law, but primarily he's talking to the nation of Israel. Those people who were privileged to have the revelation of God given to them. And he says they will be judged by the law. It wasn't just that the law was given to the Jewish people. Just having access to the law wasn't enough. Even having a knowledge of the law wasn't enough. Look at verse 13. Paul says, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." The Jewish people were known throughout their history, but especially at the time that Paul was writing, to have the attitude that they were sort of God's favorite people because God had given them his law. Now, in a sense, they were blessed by God. But having and Paul's going to talk about that later in our study of the book of Romans. But having the law, just having it, possessing it, wasn't enough. He put a great responsibility on them to live in obedience to the law, which, by the way, is a very difficult thing to do. But those who understood that the law was given to them as Jewish people to guide their lives, and they tried to live their lives in conformity to the law, they were declared just by God. They are seen by God as being righteous. And there were those people. Look at the story of the birth of Christ, the Christmas story. There were his parents, Joseph and Mary. There was Simeon and Anna. In the temple, there were righteous people who understood that the law had been given to them to lead them to God and who tried to live in conformity to the law. And they were the righteous. They were the justified. Now, what the Apostle Paul is saying in verses 12 through 16 is that all men have some knowledge of God. For some, comes through the law that God has put in their hearts. For others, it came through the law that God wrote on tablets of stone. And each group is going to be judged based on the knowledge that they were given of God. Verse 16, Paul relates this judgment to the gospel. In that day, when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, even the secret things that we do, the secret things that we say, the things no one else knows about, will be judged. And it is the gospel and what each of us do with the gospel that will determine the outcome of our judgment. The outcome of God's judgment in your life, what happens to you in eternity, will not depend on what a good person you are, or how nice you were to other people, or how kind you are. It will depend on the question, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with the gospel? That's really the only question that matters. Now, here's the issue that this section of Romans raises for us. And that is that we all have a choice. Those who seek after God have a choice. They chose God. Those who rejected God have a choice. They choose not to follow God. Those who had the law of God had a choice, either to obey it or not to obey it. Those who did not have the law of God written on tablets of stone had a choice, either to seek God based on the knowledge that they have within them, that God has put within them, that there is a God. They have a choice to seek God based upon that knowledge, or to ignore that knowledge and not seek God. We started today by saying that life is the culmination of the choices we make. There is no more important choice that you can make than the choice about Jesus. Either saying yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. By the way, and let me just say this, because people who may be watching on Facebook Live, even some here in our auditorium, might be saying to themselves, well, what about the person who never heard of Jesus? What about the person who's never heard the gospel? I think Paul has made it very clear in chapters 1 and chapter 2 that God has given light to every person. Even the person who has never heard the gospel knows that there is a God. Paul said in chapter 1, you just have to look up into heaven to tell. He tells us here in chapter 2 that God's written it in our hearts, and we have a conscience that tells us right from wrong. If there's right from wrong, there's a lawgiver who has determined what is right and what is wrong. And that person can seek God. And I believe that when a person who has never heard about Jesus Christ understands by the witness of creation and by the witness of their conscience and by the witness of what's written in their hearts that there is a lawgiver, there is a God, that God will reveal himself to that person in some way. We can't use the argument, what about the person who's never heard? God has already made it very clear that he has revealed himself in ways that are available to everyone. The choice that you will make about God, the choice that every person will make, is whether or not they say yes or no to Jesus. And I want to encourage you today, if you're watching over Facebook Live, to make that choice to receive his salvation. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Very easily we could change that to say, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul wrote this book. That's why we're going through it together as a church. It is only the gospel that will make you right with God. It is only on the basis of the gospel that a person can be accepted by God. And that is the choice that every single one of us has to make. What will you do with Jesus? For those who are watching this morning or will watch over this next week and see this message on Facebook Live, we don't know you. We may never meet you. But right where you are, you can simply accept Jesus. All you have to do is say, God, I understand that there is a God in heaven and that he sent Jesus Christ as his son to die on the cross because I'm a sinner. And in his death, he made it possible for me to be forgiven. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. And when you make that choice, then your relationship with God goes from being someone who is against God, someone who is not seeking God, someone who rejected God, to someone who can be with God, to someone who is seeking God and says yes to God. Would you make that choice today? Let me pray for you as we close our service this morning, because our greatest desire is that those of you who are listening this morning, those of you who are watching this morning, will make that choice to say yes to Jesus. Father, there are those who will hear this message, who will watch this sermon, who don't know Jesus. They may be good people. No doubt they are. From a human definition of good. But they're not good people from God's definition of good. I was not a good person. The people here in our church who know Jesus Christ, they were not good people. Not according to God's standard. But even though God has a very high standard, God has a whole lot of love. And in His love, He made it possible. He gave us a way to become good people by God's definition. He gave us a way to be saved, to come into the presence of God. And my prayer is that many today, as they hear this word from Paul in the book of Romans, will say, yes, I've tried to be a good person. I've tried to be moral. I've tried to do what's right. I've tried to treat people well. But now I understand that it's not my definition, it's not my standard, but it's God's standard that I have to go by. And today I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Lord, would you touch hearts by your Spirit today and bring many to Jesus Christ. I pray in His name. Amen.